SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs.
Platform. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com.au/listen.
You're listening to SBS News.
A Melbourne teenager challenges, but also what it felt like being at the peak of the famous summit.
We took a helicopter from Everest Base Camp to Kathmandu, but it was quite a long few days getting back to base camp because I had summited from Camp 4, I had summited and then gone back to Camp 2, and that was a 23-hour climbing day. And then a few hours later, I just slept for a few hours, and then I had to go back through the ice fall from Camp 2 to base camp, and that was extremely tiring as well. We arrived in base camp in the morning and then ate a little bit and then had to pack up all our gear that we had spread out over the past 2 months and flew back to Kathmandu, yeah.
People generally say the prime age for mountaineering, especially the tallest ones, is after your mid-20s. How is your body holding up?
I actually feel pretty good. I don't know if my age is a huge factor, and I think it's actually quite helpful. I'm able to recover pretty quickly, but also just experience on other mountains. My body has sort of learned how to adapt a little bit better to those higher altitudes and how to function a little bit better on less food and water. And I think those other expeditions where I'm pushing my body almost to the limit as well are really helpful as well.
And talk to us about the time at the top of the mountain. Like, did you feel like reaching for the stars? Because since you're so up high in the mountain.
Yeah, it's a mix of emotions because, yeah, it feels amazing to reach the top, and also on the other hand, like, just to stop going up because it's quite tiring, so you can start going down. And it's really exhausting being at those altitudes. There's really little amount of oxygen, and yeah, I'm feeling really tired at that point, but I'm really happy that I can, you know, stop going up and that I have reached the top. And yeah, it does feel a lot higher than anything around, but it was also nighttime, so I couldn't see too much. And it's a really amazing moment knowing that you've reached the top of the world, but we also have to go down, and we're only halfway at the top, and most of the accidents happen on the way down, so we have to stay focused and not celebrate too much before we get back down to safety.
How long did you guys hold the fort at the top of the world for? Like,
I actually wasn't sure, and I just checked the other day to see how long between my first photo and my last photo. And it was about 20 minutes, actually. And there was a little bit of waiting because you have to let other people. We were the second group on the summit that day, and we just had to let other people take their photos. And you need everyone to have their moment on the top of the world. And, yeah, we also have to be super mindful to not take our big gloves off for too long, and because that's also how we can get frostbite. And, yeah, there's a lot of things to think about.
And whom did you think first about when you were atop Everest? Was it mom, dad, or somebody else?
I was happy that I was at the top, and it's kind of hard to have super clear thoughts up there because you're not having much oxygen and not nearly as much as we have down here. And I was thinking about all of the training I had done, and I was also lucky enough on the radio through to my dad, who was at camp too. So he got to speak to me, and it was also really late at night. It was 2:20 in the morning, so that was not the time that I expected to summit, but I was really happy just that I had summited early and that I was away from some crowds. So,
would you have liked your parents to be with you up the mountain, or would you very happy that you went to do it all on your own, like?
Well, they have actually both climbed Everest 20 years ago, and it's a really big expedition, and I was lucky enough to have them both with me for 90% of the mountain. But it's a really tough thing, and I would rather be alone so that I can just worry about myself and not have to be thinking about other people, because no one is finding it easy, no matter how strong you are. It's tough for everyone, and there are always dangers. There's always a little bit of some factors that you can't control all the time. And so I was happy that I could focus 100% on myself and obviously not put other people in danger whilst doing that. But and then it was really nice to come back down to them. And then my dad was in camp too, so I was able to see him the same day that I summited back in camp too, and he was able to help me. I was a little bit tired. And then the next day come back down to base camp where my mum was.
And tell us about your two Sherpas, Pemba Suri and Engdu. How were they?
So Pemba, this is actually my second attempt on Everest. Last year I turned around because of bad weather. And I had climbed with Pemba, and Pemba is really, really strong. He's a really kind person as well. And yeah, I trust him, and he's extremely experienced. And we climb well together, we work well together. He knows how fast I walk, and he's able to set me a good pace. And I'm really grateful to have his support on the mountain. And Nudu, who I had just met this year, I was super happy with him as well. And I think the three of us, Pemba, Nudu and I, it's really important that we can communicate not just whilst we're climbing, but then also in the camps as well. And that was really nice as well. And it was special to share those moments with them as well.
Yeah, talking about moments, you know, when was, did you get to see the sunrise from the mountain, or were you already down?
Well, I summited at 2:20 in the morning. And so unfortunately it was very, very dark. At that point, and it was still dark for many hours after that. But once I was a couple of hours away from Camp 4, I was resting and we could see the sunrise, and it was really beautiful. And yeah, I think that was really nice to have done the hardest part of the mountain, one of the hardest parts. I had at least climbed up all of Everest, and I had come down most of the way. And yeah, it was nice to be able to rest, and I was still feeling extremely exhausted. I had still a long way to go, but I was happy to have that done already and just look through to Tibet and then Nepal as well and see the sunrise, and it was really beautiful.
And so what were the lessons learned from your past disappointments? Because you've talked about what happened last year and you had to come back down. What were the learnings for you from all of those expeditions, even from Manaslu and other places you've been to?
Yeah, I think in high altitude mountaineering, there's a fine line between pushing yourself to your limit and then also knowing when to turn around and when it's not safe anymore and when you are, in danger. And I think, last year I turned around because I felt unsafe and I felt like the weather was going to cause me to lose my hands or toes. And so did a lot of other people made that decision to turn around as well.
Noor Haider here, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we go beyond the headlines, taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Listen to Full Story wherever you get your podcasts.
June 12th, the 2026 FIFA World Cup kicks off on SBS. With 104 matches live and on demand. Plus mini matches, highlights, studio analysis, podcasts.
Australia have the advantage.
A daily Socceroo show and more.
Get it, Mbappé!
Unbelievable.
Don't miss a moment of the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Live, exclusive and free on SBS On Demand.
And I'm really happy with the decision that I made. And this year I also had bad weather, but I was able to distinguish between the bad weather that I had last year and then this year as well. And I was very aware of my hands and toes, knowing that I can push through discomfort, but I can't push through when my hands and toes are about to sort of get frostbite. And that was a decision that I make when I'm at home in Australia and I know my limits, and I sort of think about, am I willing to lose my fingers? No, definitely not for a summit. But I'm willing to get very uncomfortable in order to get to the summit. And I've learned that over many different climbs. I've pushed myself to my limit on many other mountains. And even though those mountains are a lot smaller, I was younger and less fit. So they are similar effort to the effort that I put on Everest this year as well. Just having those tough experiences that makes you a stronger person.
Yeah. And on that note, there have been other record-breaking young women from Australia like Alyssa Azar and Gabby Canizé. What's in the waters of Australia that keeps producing amazing young female athletes like yourself to conquer the Everest at such a young age?
I don't know. Those women are really inspiring to me. And ever since, you know, a few years ago when I was training for Manaslu or other 6,000-meter mountains, I had just looked up to those women. And, yeah, Gabby is amazing. I haven't met Alyssa, but she's really inspiring, and I've read her book. And I've met Gabby a few times. And, yeah, Gabby also, when she did Everest, she also did Lhotse the next night, which is incredible. And that is, yeah, it's really, really challenging to do that. And I still look up to those women so much. And they're so inspiring to me and other women as well.
And what message do you have for other girls and young women in Australia, Nepal and around the world?
I just say, even though these mountains can seem very big and daunting, that it's really important to know that you can train and build up to be able to climb these big mountains. And we're just as strong as any of the other men on the mountain, even though there was only about 20% women, but we can be stronger and as strong as the men that are here, and we can set big goals and train really hard, and we can achieve what we want out when we want to.
And have you missed Melbourne and the beach and your schoolmates down here?
Yeah, it's actually winter in Australia now, so it's pretty cold, but I miss my friends a lot and my family back at home and my bed and my dog and sushi.
And sushi. And what about Nepal? Any Nepali friends yet, locally or even back here in Melbourne? Ever you discussed Himal, as we call it in Nepali, you know, the Himalayas with them, your favorite Nepali food?
I don't have too many Nepalese friends in Australia, but I have some friends here that I've been able to see. And yeah, I have eaten a lot of dal bhat over the past 2 months, so I'm a little bit sick of it.
So you're pretty sure, kind of like know the term, right? Dal bhat power is what we call it in Nepali.
24-hour.
Yeah, that's the word. And what about dumplings, the momo? Do you like them?
Momos. Yes, I actually really like momos. And I haven't had too many over the past few months, but I really like momos, actually.
I think you deserve one really good one now. Finally, what is the one thing from this expedition you'd always cherish for the rest of your life from this expedition?
I think I will always chase having a really big challenge, and I'll never stop setting big goals and training hard towards them, because that really gives me purpose in life. And
what is one kind of misconception people do tend to have when they ask you a question, you know, and like,
that's... I think a misconception is the triumphant feeling of getting to the top of Everest. Mm-hmm. I think it's not as incredible as many people think, because for me, the hardest part of the climb was coming down. So yeah, I had to stay so focused, and that's when most of the accidents happen. So it's not as sort of euphoric as a feeling as people think, because we get to the top, it's really, really cold, it's dark. For me, it was, and I was like, oh great, like I'm halfway now, I have to go all the way down what I've just climbed up. But yeah, I think for some it can be a very happy feeling for a bit, but I wanted to make sure that I wasn't celebrating too much when I got to the top, because I wanted to stay very focused.
Are you ready for your celebrity status when you come back to Australia? I think you're going to be huge when you come down to school here in Brighton.
I need to get back into my schoolwork and get back to school, focus on my studies.
Thank you.
Some internet wobbles when things get tough. Ours? Rock solid. Built for speed and reliability, and backed by real local experts right here in Australia.
Yep, the kind who actually fix things for you, not just read from a script.
NBN plans begin at just $49.95 per month. T's and C's apply.
Visit leaptel.com.au and leap to better internet today.